You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 23rd of November, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I want to look at cancel culture today and an instance of it that has occurred in a primary school of all places. A school which sparked outrage by cancelling Winston Churchill and J.K. Rowling for not being diverse, insisted the change was led by pupils as it begged parents, "Hope you will support us." Now, much as I have criticisms of Winston Churchill for going to war against our brothers in Germany and for starving the Indians over there in India and attacking the Americans and pretending it was the Germans by putting weapons on civilian ships as bait for the Germans to attack in World War One, I do approve of holding him up as a hero. We need heroes. We need white heroes in Britain, even if they are flawed. And the idea that he would be taken down from a primary school, cancelled at a primary school, because apparently the primary school children asked for this, is just absolutely ludicrous. So we have somebody who is known to, amongst most people that aren't really aware of what went on in World War II, most of those people see Winston Churchill as probably the greatest Englishman that we ever had. I mean, much as I would disagree with that, that is what most people think. And then to get rid of him from a school, it's really saying that even what we think of as the best of the British people is no good today. We need to get rid of them. And their reason for getting rid of him is because he's not black, basically. They're saying because he's not diverse enough. And J.K. Rowling, I mean, she was the diversity darling a few years ago, but now that she has said that only women can menstruate, of course, she has to be cancelled as well. And she's not just being cancelled from this primary school. Her name is being taken down from everywhere. And even the youngsters that she gave a break to with the Harry Potter movies are now disowning her and distancing themselves from her. Holy Trinity Church of England Primary School in Richmond previously had houses named after the Prime Minister and the Harry Potter author alongside Sir David Attenborough and Emmeline Pankhurst. Of course, Sir David Attenborough, he's the darling of the climate change movement. So they're trying to be very woke here, this school, aren't they? And Emmeline Pankhurst, of course, she's been held up as a heroine for decades, even though she was seen as a terrorist in her day. The school, which caters for young children aged 3 to 11, claims that pupils had asked for the house names to be more diverse. Yeah, I'm sure that three-year-olds said that we need to have more diversity in the names of these houses, and we're not happy with Winston Churchill because of the famine in India. I'm sure they were debating this amongst themselves, hotly debating this rather than outside playing cowboys and Indians or what is it, whatever it is that they play today. The school then replaced Churchill and Rowling with England star Marcus Rashford, the patron saint of school dinners, and the nurse Mary Seacole. Well, Marcus Rashford, okay, he's a footballer. Is he any good at football? He has campaigned for school dinners, free school dinners, to still be given out during the holidays. That's the main thing that he's actually achieved. I believe he lost his penalty in the Sports Ball Cup this year. Really not a patch on fighting a war for 4 years against Germany and winning that war. I mean, much as I have the criticisms of Churchill, he did actually win a war. He did do a little bit more than campaign for free school dinners. And Mary Seacole, we've talked about her before in the past, and she is used as kind of like a black alternative to Florence Nightingale, although she wasn't a patch on Florence Nightingale. This article actually has a little piece about her. It says, Mary Seacole is regarded as the greatest black Briton, a woman who did more to advance the cause of nursing and race relations than almost any other individual. And I doubt very much whether she saw herself as advancing the cause of race relations. I don't think she even saw herself as a nurse. Florence Nightingale was the mother of nursing. She was the one that developed it. Up until that point, it had just been women that never got married that had just tended to sort of look after the ill people. And Florence Nightingale actually worked out that you needed to have fresh air, you needed to have cleanliness, you needed to have hygiene. She worked out the best conditions that would be most conducive for people to recover from illness. She went out to Crimea and she did this, and she trained nurses up to nurse people back to life. I mean, up until that point, it was all about just waiting for people to die, basically. There wasn't much hope of people getting better. And because of Florence Nightingale, people started to get better, and there was a huge increase in life expectancy. And this Mary Seacole, she asked Florence Nightingale if she could join, and Florence Nightingale said, "We haven't got any training, so you can't really join." And it says here, on the bloody battlefields of the Crimea, she is said to have saved the lives of countless wounded soldiers and nursed them back to health in a clinic she paid for out of her own pocket. Now, that makes it look as if she set up a hospital that she paid for herself to nurse people back to life. That's not what happened. She set up an inn. She set up a place where people could stay. People could pay to stay at this inn, and alcohol was served there. And this is why Florence Nightingale turned her down as a nurse. She said, well, you have an establishment that serves alcohol to people who are wounded. And I don't think she was sort of calling it a house of ill repute, but she was saying that that's not going to be conducive to their health. And also it's going to be encouraging licentious acts, basically, is what she said. So Mary Seacole did not pay for a clinic out of her own pocket. She set up a business in the Crimea, a money-making business, to try and make money out of the soldiers that were wounded there, as a sort of rivalry to Florence Nightingale, who actually had a proper pop-up hospital that had been designed by Isambard Kingdom Brunel. And now they try to make out this Mary Seacole as if she was the equivalent of Florence Nightingale. But she really wasn't. She's famous just because she was mixed race. It continues here. It says, but some historians have long complained that she has become almost as famous as that other nursing heroine, Florence Nightingale. For decades after her death in 1881, Seacole's story was largely overlooked. Well, yes, because it really wasn't that remarkable, is it? Going out to the Crimea and setting up a hotel, a bar, because you know that there's going to be people there that are wounded and you can make money out of them. I mean, that's not really remarkable, is it? But for the past 15 years, her reputation and exploits have undergone a remarkable rehabilitation. And of course, the reason why they've undergone this remarkable rehabilitation is because she's black. She's one of the rare black people that we have that are linked with British history. So they make a big song and dance about it. Every school child is now taught about her achievements. She is a statutory part of the national curriculum, and for many, she is seen as a secular saint. And it's incredible, isn't it? All she did was open up a hotel. Numerous schools, hospitals, and universities have rooms or buildings named after her, and shortly she will get her greatest tribute yet. An 8-foot-tall bronze statue was erected to her memory in the grounds of St. Thomas's Hospital, facing towards the Houses of Parliament. And that has now actually been set up, and it's sort of opposite the place where Florence Nightingale set up the whole profession of nursing. And rather than having a monument to Florence Nightingale, we have this 8-foot bronze statue to a hotelier, basically. Apparently she did have some folk remedies that she would use that she learned about in the Caribbean or from her Jamaican ancestry. Whether those folk remedies actually helped or not, nobody actually knows. I mean, it's ludicrous that they make such a fuss about this woman. And to replace Winston Churchill with her and Marcus Rashford, I mean, that is it's just clown world, isn't it, really? I mean, we could have done this this news story on Friday with Grandpa Dan, but he's not here this week, of course, because they have Thanksgiving over there in America this week. After the Mail Online broke the story, the school chair of governors, Michelle Marcus, desperately tried to shore up backing from mothers and fathers of pupils. And I bet the parents were really quite annoyed about this. In a newsletter today, she urged, "The change was entirely driven and led by our pupils, and they feel proud of having effected this change and knowing that their views were heard." Well, of course, the kids were encouraged to believe that they would be rewarded if they said that they wanted to do this, clearly. If they said, "Well, no, we don't, we like Winston Churchill," they would have been told what a racist Winston Churchill was and what an evil person they were for wanting to still have Winston Churchill named on the house buildings or whatever it was. It continues, "There may be further interest in the subject, and I hope you all support the school in our position." Well, yes, there is a further interest in the subject, because it's in the national news as an instance once again of us desecrating the memory of our ancestors. The school, whose head teacher is Alison Bateman, timed the announcement of the changes to coincide with Black History Month in October. How many Black History Months do we actually have in the year? I thought Black History Month was in February. So do we have two of them now? Three of them? Where's the White History Month then? Where do we have a month where we celebrate the achievements of white people in history? Of course, we'll be told that that goes on all the time, and all of history is talking about white people because we try to keep black people out of it. That's not the truth. The truth is that his story means his story. It means one person's story. So if you're going to have history, it's going to be told from one point of view, isn't it? And if it's white history, it's going to be told from a white person's point of view. British history is going to be told from a white man's point of view. And you've also got the fact that to have history, recorded history, you have to have a written language. And black people didn't have their own written language. They didn't write down any history. So effectively, they didn't have any history. It's not because white people were trying to exclude them. It's because they really don't have a place on the world's stage. I mean, that's just the facts of the matter. While some are happy with the recognition of school meals campaigner Rashford and Crimean War lifesaver Seacole, parents think the school decided to cancel Churchill enrolling because they are deemed controversial figures. And of course, they got rid of Rowling simply because she said that only women menstruate. I mean, up until that point, she had been honoured because she was a best-selling author, and particularly a best-selling author who was female, which is again is a rare thing that you get a woman author that is very well thought of throughout the globe, and that's why she was being honoured. But just the simplest thing can now cause these heroes and heroines to be knocked off their pedestal. I mean, in J.K. Rowling's case, it's just the case of a tweet that she sent out, affirming basic biological reality. Earlier in the day, one parent told Mail Online, "A lot of us are quite shocked that the school authorities have decided that the contributions of Churchill and Rowling deserve to be erased from the records without so much as a consultation with parents. Presumably, this has happened partly due to the supposed thought crimes committed by these two national figures." For context, the other two unchanged house names are Pankhurst and Attenborough. "I am not alone in feeling appalled that this cowardly action has been taken. Well, in Churchill's case, it's not actually thought crimes, is it? It's usually to do with the famine that wouldn't have taken place if he hadn't taken the food away in Bangalore, I think it was. We actually did an episode on that famine in Truth Without Radio, and you'll find it in a section at the Radio Albion site headed Churchill's Body Count. We did a whole series looking at the negative aspects of Churchill, but as I say, I mean, he still has to be taken for his achievements, and we did win the war. I believe it was a wrongly prosecuted war, but we still did win the war under Churchill, and that's why he is honoured. Churchill voted the greatest ever Briton in previous national polls, has recently been accused of racism over his alleged inaction in the 1943 Bengal famine in India and his views on Indian independence. And of course, by today's standards, yes, Churchill was racist. Going by the standards of the 1940s, though, the word wasn't even in use. And it was just seen that, well, the British people needed to do what was best for the British people. Churchill wanted to win the war. He wanted to make sure that the troops had enough grain and that they had enough supplies. So he took the supplies from India. And because of that, the Indians starved. And by today's standards, that was a wrong thing to do. That was a racist thing to do. But maybe if he hadn't done that, then maybe he would have lost the war. And that's what was going on there. You had a violent competition between various different groups in the world. And the whole, you know, you go to war, the whole point of it is that you have to win. You have to win that war. So that was Churchill's thought processes. And the Indians lost out, but you can't really blame him for doing that 70 or 80 years later and claim that he did this out of racism. I don't think he did it out of racism. I think he did it out of concern that he wanted to win the war. Rowling has been accused of transphobia after commenting on an online article about people who menstruate, questioning why they were not just called women. And of course, the word women, it means womb. Men, people with a womb, do menstruate. So it's actually the same word, isn't it? When you say women, you're actually implying that it is people who menstruate. I'm surprised they haven't actually made the word woman into hate speak. I expect they might do that over the next few years. Members of the school's junior leadership team drew up a list of names for possible replacements, which the children then voted on. And I bet it wasn't them that actually drew up the list of names. It would have been the teachers that selected the names. The school, which is affiliated to the Diocese of Southwark, announced the changes in a recent newsletter. It said the children across school have been keen to change some of the names of the school houses to be more diverse. And even if that was true, I mean, what does that show? It just shows that these kids have been brainwashed with these mantras that they hear on the television about diversity being our greatest strength. I mean, do the white children at that school really understand that by being more diverse, it just means replacing more of them with members of another group? Would they like to see their family members replaced with members of another group? I suspect they would not. I mean, they're just really taking advantage of children's belief in grown-ups and belief that the grown-ups are doing what is best for them. The JLT compiled a shortlist and the children have been involved in voting, and we are pleased to be able to announce the name changes during Black History Month. Churchill has been replaced by Rashford and Rowling by Seacole. Mail Online contacted the school to ask why Churchill and Rowling had been selected for replacement and by whom. And it was also asked which other names were on the shortlist and whether the diocese was consulted over the changes. I have a very, very serious matter here, isn't it? Changing the house names for the school. Head teacher Ms. Bateman said the changing of our school's house names was an activity that our children began discussing last year, as they did not feel the names reflected the diverse community of our school. So what are they saying there? I doubt very much whether there was anybody at the school that would have actually been named Churchill. So they are saying they want to have more black people there. They want the school to be named after another people group, that has come in and replaced their own people group. I mean, this is what we see happening throughout history. When nations are conquered by other nations, this is what they do. They take down all the statues of the previous people that were there, and they erect statues of themselves, and they take down the names that were referring to the great heroes of the people that were there before, and they replace them with their own names, and they come up with new names for parts of the country. And you know, this sort of thing happened in Wales, didn't it? The Normans came in there and they changed the Welsh place names for English place names. And this is the sort of thing that happens when you're actually conquered by another people group. Only apparently we haven't been conquered by this other people group. Our representatives just invited them into our country, and our representatives are the ones that are pushing for this and that are suggesting this. Some members of the government might pay lip service to thinking this isn't any good, but none of them are doing anything to stop it. I mean, the worst person at doing this is Sadiq Khan. He's set up an entire committee to look at place names in London that may be reflective of the original Londoners, and if they are, he wants to change them to make them reflective of the newcomers to London. He effectively wants to change place names and images to reflect the people that are there now. The same thing that conquerors have done throughout history. And yet, of course, Sadiq Khan would say that he's not a conqueror. He hasn't conquered London. But if you go to Pakistan, they were all celebrating when Sadiq Khan was made the mayor of London. Now why would they be celebrating somebody becoming mayor in another country? Why might the British be sort of celebrating if somebody became the mayor of Delhi? Well, they might be celebrating it because it was a British person that became the mayor of Delhi. And that's really celebrating it, because it's saying, well, our people group have now got power and influence in this other country. This country that originally belonged to a group that was running the administration in our country. That's the reason why they support it. I mean, it's an instinctual thing. They may say on the outside, well, it doesn't mean that we've conquered this people, but at the instinctual level, you can say, well, he's the guy that's in charge, and he's not of the ethnic group of the people that actually built that city. So it does look, to all intents and purposes, that the city has been conquered by another people. If the Cockneys from 100 years ago were to see what London looks like now, they would assume that the country had been taken over by another people group. And of course, it hasn't been taken over by another people group. But what we've done is we've invited these other people groups in and effectively given them control over it. We've said, well, you can have de facto control over it. We'll allow you to be the mayor of London for a certain amount of time. But on paper, we'll still say that it's Britain. But de facto, rather than de jure, it is being controlled by representative of another ethnic group. This response here from Ms. Bateman, she said, it is important to us that we reflect what is important to our children and their families, not just through their learning, but in the environment that they learn in. It is important that children's voices are heard. And this is why we supported their choice to have our house names reflect diversity, equality, and the environment. Yeah, the three-year-olds are all into equality here, and we should be listening to the children and doing what the children say. You can just imagine that, can't you, if you were taking your kids out for a car journey, and we'll just decide to go wherever it is that the children tell us to. And they're not really listening to the children's voices, are they? Because when you get children and they're in a multicultural school and it's break time, the white children will sit with the white children and the black children will sit with the black children, because that's just natural. And the same thing happens in prisons. If you have a multicultural prison, white people will stick with the whites and the blacks will stick with the blacks, because that's what happens in nature. And the younger you are, the more at home you are going to feel amongst your own extended kinship group, because you're going to feel safer amongst them. This is why when white children used to get kidnapped by red Indians, they would be abused and misused because they were a part of another people group. They weren't safe being kidnapped by the red Indians, because the red Indians were a different people group. And children understand this at an instinctual level. So the children are not being listened to here. The children are being told what to think, and we are being told that the children decided to do this. This representative of the school continued, "We have a lot of support from parents, some of whom have themselves challenged us in the past about the lack of diversity in the names. We also have the full support of our governors and the Diocese of Southwark." So that tells us they have the support of the church there, basically. It's a Church of England school, and instead of honouring really the ethnic English, they want to be honouring people from elsewhere. I mean, this Mary Seacole, she was originally from Jamaica, I believe. Marcus Rashford, his ethnic heritage is from somewhere in Africa. I'm not quite sure where, possibly Nigeria. Churchill and Rowling have been victims of cancel culture among a number of organisations for the past few years. In September, Downing Street condemned the absurd airbrushing of Sir Winston's full name from the charity set up in his memory, and urged its bosses to reverse the decision, also branded ridiculous and rewriting history. And this is another aspect of this. A lot of these people that are being cancelled were great philanthropists, and they set up endowment funds for schools and for universities. And nowadays, their name is being taken from the endowment fund and it's being removed. And yet the money is still being taken for the universities. And the universities are desecrating the memory of the people that they actually got their money from. It's like Cecil Rhodes, when they're trying to pull down the statue of Cecil Rhodes, and the people trying to pull the statue down are the people benefiting from his scholarship fund. The trader that helped to build Bristol and his statue got pulled down last year, I momentarily forget his name, but he left lots of money for schools and hospitals, and they're still taking that money, but they've taken his name off of everything. It used to be a Guildhall, I think, that was named after him, that's now been changed. Getting back to this Churchill Memorial Trust, it also started carrying a statement on its website calling the wartime Prime Minister's views on race unacceptable today, a view that we share. So they have to telling Winston Churchill off, even though this is his charity that he set up. And it's very, very ungrateful of them, isn't it? Loyal volunteers at the Trust said it was rewriting history, and they pointed out the former Prime Minister has frequently been voted the greatest Briton of all time. I mean, it kind of says that even the greatest of us is now seen as being no more than a racist, and we shouldn't be honouring them at all. And if you fail to honour your ancestors, then you're not going to be doing the best you can for your descendants, are you? You're just going to believe that you're no good, because you're only the sum of your ancestors. And if all of them were nothing more than racists, then it really means that white people today can be nothing more than racists. And that is the message that is pushed in the media, is that white people are no good. One volunteer said, "It beggars belief that the man who saved this nation in our darkest hour finds himself cancelled in this way." Yesterday it was announced the cast and crew of the Harry Potter movies were coming together for a reunion, but without the author, J.K. Rowling. Again, how ungrateful. If it wasn't for her writing those books, they would not even have made any of those movies. HBO Max announced on Tuesday it would bring together the cast members from all 8 of the Harry Potter films for a retrospective special entitled Harry Potter 20th Anniversary, The Return to Hogwarts. The release said it would feature stars Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson and Rupert Grint, who have not made a public appearance together since the premiere of the last premiere of the franchise, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, in July 2011, as well as filmmaker Chris Columbus, who directed the blockbuster film. but the release does not mention the person responsible for the creation of all the characters, author J.K. Rowling, who has been criticised for her views on transgender people. And you'd think she must have said something absolutely horrible about them. She must have called for them to be killed, must have said that they don't deserve to live, or something like that. But no, she has simply been accused of transphobia after saying that only women can menstruate. Absolutely incredible. But at least these sorts of things, they do wake people up. I think there is a great awakening that is happening right the way across the white world at what is going on, and that this cannot continue. And I think that's why groups like Patriotic Alternative are just massively growing in size. And anyone that's listening today, if this is all new to you, that's who I recommend you get in touch with. Go to patrioticalternative.org.uk, find out about your local Patriotic Alternative group, join the community, and take part in the resistance against this. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.